Are you glad you're in the house of God this morning? Amen. We are delighted to have each one of you here today. Love the presence of the Holy Spirit that I feel as we have worshiped, and love all of the testimonies. How many of you know that God can do great things if we just allow Him to in our life? Amen. Praise God. I miss all of those that are not here, but I pray they have successful hunts and successful gathering firewood and successful camping and all of those other things that they're all out doing. But we're glad you're here. And I am personally this morning very excited about the sermon or the message that the Lord has laid upon my heart for our service today. Amen. It is the essence or the backbone, if you will, of the gospel. And I love ministering God's word. If you have your Bible this morning and want to share with me the reading of the word of Scripture, I'm going to ask you to turn over to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 5, and we're going to read two verses there this morning, verse number 1 and verse number 2. So Romans chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse number 1.
Praise the Lord.
While you're turning there, I want to echo my wife's thoughts about last Sunday. What an awesome time we had. And thank you for all of those that was able to participate and all of those that helped make it a success. All of our guys that were on the grills and different musicians and people planning different things and all of that stuff, I completely thank you and say God bless you for helping it to be a success. We had a great, great time. All right, Romans chapter 5, beginning with the first verse. And this, of course, Romans is written by the Apostle Paul. So Paul writes, and he says in this fifth chapter, the first verse, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Amen. I'll ask if you will bow your heads. We're going to cease reading right there. Ask if you will bow your heads and pray, and let's ask the Lord for His help and for His anointing in ministering the Word of God this morning. Father, we are grateful that You have already met with us here this morning. You said in Your Word when we gather in Your name that You are in our midst. And Father, for that we are grateful. Thank You that we have sensed and felt the presence of the Holy Spirit here in this place. And Lord, we come now to the reading of Your word and the ministering of Your word. And I would just simply ask, Father, because of my own self, I can do nothing. So I would ask that You would enable me. I pray that You would anoint me with the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that You would give me unction, and that You would put Your thoughts in my mind, and that You would put Your word in my mouth, that You would help me to speak as an instrument in Your hand that would be useful to draw all men unto Yourself. Hide me behind the cross. Father, without You, I can do nothing. I ask You, give me liberty in the house of the Lord this morning to teach and to speak and preach the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Lord, for all of these things, we will be eternally grateful. We will for eternity give You the praise. And Lord, we ask it in the mighty and wonderful name of Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. Amen. So I want to title my message this morning, Justified by Faith Alone. Justified by Faith Alone. Paul says in that first verse, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I read that and the Spirit of the Lord began to lay this message upon my heart, you know, we read that, it's just a small verse, but there is so much in that verse. There is so much in that verse that I pray that the Holy Spirit will enable me to impart just an overview or just a microcosm of a concept of what Paul was really saying when he said, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, as I begin to minister, let me just share with you that we all, each one of us, have to have need an understanding of the term justification and what justified really means. So this morning I want to talk about the doctrine or the sacred doctrine of the church, the doctrine of justification by faith alone. What does it mean to be justified? Stop and think about that for a moment. What does it mean to be justified? When you read in the scripture that we are justified by our faith, what does it mean to be justified? How can a person be justified? How can we find justification, and how can we be justified in the sight of God? Many people believe that God is indeed the Almighty and that God, amen, is sovereign and that God is in the heaven, and they desire to have a right relationship with God, but they don't know how to go about being justified, amen, in the sight of the Lord, or even what justification really, really means. What makes the teaching of justification so important unto you and I? To answer that question, let me just share with you the remarks of Martin Luther, one of the great expositors of the scripture and the 16th century reformer. He called the doctrine of justification the article upon which the church will stand or fall. Let that sink into your spirit. Martin Luther, the great reformer, way back in the 16th century, said the doctrine of justification is so important that the church will either stand or it will fall as to how it takes approach to that doctrine. The doctrine of justification by faith is absolutely essential to the gospel of Jesus Christ, because the gospel of Christ would cease to be good news if we don't understand justification and what it really, really means. As I begin this morning, let me just make a statement concerning all of humanity, including myself. We all have a problem. We all have a problem. We all have an issue with the entire human race, and that problem that we have is so fundamental that it affects everything in our life. Maybe I should go so far as to say that every other problem that we experience in life, amen, it comes from the root cause of a primary condition of our humanity. And it is a sin problem. All humanity is affected by sin. In one sentence, you could state it like this: the root cause of all of our problem is this. God is righteous and we are not. Hello? Amen. You could put it several different ways. As I put my notes together, I put it together in a few different ways. God is holy and we are not. God is pure and we are not. God is perfect, and we are not. Hello? Amen. God is just and we are not. God is perfect love and we are not. God is always good and we are not. Amen. I'm not pointing a finger. I'm telling you what we all are. Put me at the head of the line. Hello? That is the condition of our humanity, the root cause of all of our troubles, the root cause of all of our problems is sin, and sin separates us from God. Sin separates us from the Lord. Sin separates us from our Creator. Our problem is a sin problem. We were born with it. We were born in sin because of the sin in the garden. We were born and created in sin. That is the root cause of all of our trouble. And sin separates us from the Almighty. Sin separates us from God. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 1 and verse number 2. The Bible said, behold, the hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot save, neither is his ear heavy that he cannot hear. What the prophet was saying, it's not that your God is not able to intervene in your struggles. It's not that your God cannot hear you when you call out. It's not that your God isn't powerful enough to hear you when you call and make a change in your life. But he goes on to say in verse number 2, but your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. It's not that God cannot, it's that God will not, because we are separated from him. If we are in a sinful condition, the Bible said in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 23 that all have sinned. You don't have to elbow anybody this morning because they will be elbowing you back. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All have sinned. That means you. That means me. And literally in the Greek, that verse, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, it literally means that we are all continually, on a continual basis, falling short of the glory of God. That's our problem. We have a sin problem. That's our sinful human predicament. Something has gone wrong between us and God. Something has gone wrong between us and God, and it has separated us because he is holy, and there is this vast chasm between our Creator and us. Our sin has truly and profoundly and utterly separated us from the God, amen, that created us. Everything that God is, we are not. Everything that we are, God is not. And there, instead of being harmony between us and our Creator, there is friction. Instead of there being friendship, there is enmity. The whole human race is under the judgment of God. If you doubt what I have said as a truth this morning, I challenge you to look in the mirror at the man or the woman that looks back at you and be honest with yourself. Are you holy? Are you righteous? Are you pure? Can you say that you are perfect in all of your ways? Can you say that you are without sin in all that you do? I can't. And neither can you. And neither can you. That's our human frailty. That's our human condition. We are lost and separated from God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse number 10 that there is not one righteous, no, not one. How many of you have met really, really good people, but they're unrighteous? They have the same sin problem and the same separation problem from God that we experience. You say, Pastor Gary, where in the world is the good news in all of that? There is awesome news. There is absolutely profound, shout your head off, dance your feet off, hallelujah meeting kind of news. The news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news is that God took it upon himself to fix a problem that we could not fix. The good news is that God took it upon himself to fix a situation that we could not change. The good news is that God sent his only begotten Son that whosoever would believe upon him would not perish but have life everlasting. Hallelujah. What we could not do, God has already done through the person of Jesus Christ. Through the person of Jesus Christ. And how he did that is all wrapped up in a theological term called justification. The story of how he did that is wrapped up in a technical, theological, put a couple of PhDs after your name kind of thing. Amen. Terminology. It is called justification. That's what I want to talk about this morning. So let me define the word justify or justification. The word justification or justify means to declare innocent. It means that there has been a verdict passed by the judge. If I can put it in common terminology that we might understand, the judge has heard the case. Justice has been served. And you are free and not guilty. I have always said, and this is just, a short definition, but justification means just as if it never happened. How many of you got some things in life that you wish that you could just go back and have a mulligan and have a do-over? Amen. And you wish that it never, ever happened. I'm here to tell you, there is someone this morning that can give you a clean slate and make it just as if it never happened. Justification means that the defendant is declared not guilty, innocent of all charges, and there is no record of wrongdoing against them. Amen. If you are justified this morning, your record is clean and clear, and you are free to go. I'm going to tell you something. That's why this Pentecostal preacher just shouts a little bit once in a while. Amen. And because I know what my past record was, but hey, I've been forgiven, and I've been set free, and I'm free to go in Christ. Hallelujah. Now, if you apply that truth to the realm of the Spirit, justification means that your record is clean. You are free to go. You are innocent. You are declared not guilty. Apply that to the realm of the Spirit. Apply that to the realm of the Spirit. Justification is an act whereby God acquits the guilty. And there is, amen, a moment in time when we come and receive Christ that he declares us not guilty. And we are innocent in the sight of God, not on our basis of our good doing or our good deeds, but on the basis of what Christ did for us at Calvary. Amen. He was our substitute. Amen. Stop and think about all of this for a moment now. We have this problem. We're separated from God. God says, I see that. I recognize that. But I'm going to work something out for your benefit. I'm going to work something out for your good. You can't fix yourself, so I'm going to help fix you. I'm going to make a way where you can't make a way. I'm going to make a way, amen, where there doesn't seem to be a way. And I'm going to send my innocent only begotten son into the realm of the earth. Wrap him in human flesh. And I'm going to take my wrath against sin out on him. And I'm going to give you his righteousness. And I'm going to let him take upon himself your sin. And I'm going to declare my wrath at the cross on him. But I'm going to let you go free. I'm going to declare you innocent. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of everything that he has done. Not because of anything that we have done. Listen to Isaiah chapter 53, beginning with verse number 4. It says, surely he, Jesus, surely he hath borne not his griefs, not his sorrows, but surely he hath borne our griefs and our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God. And then the prophet goes on to say, but he was wounded, not for his transgressions, but for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. We are made whole. Can I tell you what happened at the cross? Can I tell you what happened at Calvary? Amen. John the Baptist foretold it when he saw Jesus coming down the banks of the Jordan River. He said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And what happened at the cross? When Jesus Christ was nailed to the cross, God laid upon him our sins, our iniquities, and God punished him for the crimes that we have committed, and he let us go free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 53 and verse number 6 said, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us have turned to our own way. Isn't that the truth? Wow. But it says, and the Lord hath laid upon him, the Lord, God the Father, hath laid upon him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all. Do you remember when Jesus was on the cross, hanging there, beaten and bloody, and he said these words, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was at that moment and that time that God withdrew his presence, amen, from his son, because, amen, God the Father is holy and just. And at that moment, he laid upon him the sin and the iniquity of all of us. And he punished him for crimes that we have committed. And he allowed us to go free. So this morning, our problem is a sin problem. Justification is the answer to our problem. You following me? Our problem is a sin problem. The answer to our problem, amen, is justification. So the question that remains to be answered is, how are we justified? How can we be justified? That one little verse, verse number 1 of chapter 5, contains so much. I want to break it down this morning. I want to break our text down, that first verse, into 3 parts. I want to talk, first of all, about the means of our justification. Secondly, I want to talk about the results of our justification. And thirdly, I want to talk about the person of our justification. Number 1, the means of our justification. How are we justified? The means by which we are justified. Now, let me just tell you this morning, I'm not here to bash any other religions. I'm not here to bash any other organizations. But I'm just going to be truthful and honest with you this morning. Can I do that? There are some that teach, and there are some that preach, that yes, we must receive Christ, but we must work to earn our salvation. Hello? There are some that teach that we must, and they put it in this phraseology, that we must cooperate with the grace of God and have good works and follow the law. And they put just as much emphasis on the law as they do receiving Christ. Hello? Are you with me so far? Amen. They teach that, yes, we must receive Jesus, but we must also do good works, and we must also keep the law. How many of you remember the Judaizers in the Galatian church? They were preaching the same kind of message. They were saying, yes, you must receive Christ, but you must be circumcised, and you must keep the law. We got folks running around preaching the same thing today. He's saying, if you're going to be justified in the sight of God, then you must receive Jesus and you must keep the law. Paul doesn't say that. As a matter of fact, Paul makes it very clear in verse number 1. He says that we are justified by faith. Period. We are justified by our faith in Christ. Yes, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Yes, Christians, we as Christians, born again believers, should be a people that show forth good works. But our good works have nothing to do with our salvation. Hello? Yes, we are to be a people that have kindness and show forth the good works of God. Amen. But not because it helps us earn our salvation, but we ought to have good works because we have fallen in love and Christ lives on the inside, and our good works are just an extension of our relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Understand this morning that when I say we are justified by faith alone, I am saying that we are justified by the work of Jesus Christ and nothing else. Nothing else. Amen. If we determine that yes, we must have faith in Christ, but we must also count upon our good works for our salvation, then what we are really saying in essence is that His sacrifice was insufficient. We're saying that His sacrifice was not enough. In essence, if we are saying that, yes, we must believe in Jesus, but we must also follow the law, amen, then we are cheapening his atoning work. And in essence, we are declaring that Calvary was insufficient and his sacrifice was not enough. Beloved, Paul said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 1, he said, people that do that kind of thing, they frustrate the grace of God. Amen. For righteousness does not come by the law, but it comes by Jesus Christ. And he said in Galatians 2 and 21, if righteousness came by the law, listen to it, if righteousness came by the works of the law, then Christ died in vain. And I'm here to tell you this morning, amen, the works of the law and our good works have nothing to do with our salvation. We are saved. We are justified simply by our faith in the work of Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never made Christ the Lord of your life, I got good news. Sin may have separated you, but Jesus said, I am come to seek and to save that which was lost, and he came to set us free. We are not saved. We are not justified by our good works. We are not justified by our good deeds. We are not justified by throwing an extra 20 in the offering plate. All of those things are an extension of our love for Christ. But I can tell you right now, you cannot buy your way to heaven. Hello? You cannot good work your way to heaven. Amen. We are not justified by our acts of kindness. We are not justified by anything that we can add to. Amen. Whether we can or we cannot do it, but we are justified only by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. We are justified by the sacrifice of the only begotten Son of the living God, and we are made righteous, and we are declared perfect, and we are declared innocent in the sight of God, all because of Jesus. Hallelujah. What does the rest of the scriptures teach concerning works? Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8. The writer of the book of Ephesians penned these words, and he said, for by grace are you saved through faith. By faith. And that not of yourself. He said that faith that comes to you to receive Christ is a gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. Amen. See that the reason God does not allow works to be a part of our salvation is because we would be trying to earn it. It is a gift of God, the free gift of God through faith in Christ. Is faith alone? Are those scriptures in harmony with the other scriptures? Let me give some to you this morning. Titus chapter 3, verse number 5. The Bible says that our salvation is not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but it is according to his mercy that he has saved us. Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 16, Paul said, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. You can't find justification by the works of the law. A man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we that have believed in Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. And he concludes that little scripture by saying, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Sin is our problem. Justification is our answer. And works will not bring you to justification. only the blood of Christ. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 4, it says, Christ, this is a really stern warning, Christ is become of no effect to you. Whosoever of you who are trying to be justified by the law, you have fallen from grace. Now, I didn't write that. The Apostle Paul wrote that. But he says, if you're trying to be justified in the sight of God and you're trying to close the gap between your unholy state and his holy state, and you're trying to close the gap and have some of a relationship that's going to cause his favor to smile upon you, and you're trying to do it by the works of the law, you have fallen from grace. Romans chapter 3, verse number 20, going down through the 28th verse. He says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified. Hello? There shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, he says, the righteousness of God without the law, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. In other words, the law and the prophets spoke about the time when Christ would come and that he would justify us by our faith. He says, but now the righteousness of God without the law is made manifest, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Christ Jesus, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference. He's saying there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, between religious and non-religious. There's no difference. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And then he concludes that third chapter by writing these words. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith and without the deeds of the law. In other words, without our good works. We are justified by faith alone in Christ. Our justification has nothing to do with works. It has nothing to do with keeping the laws. It has nothing to do with any, even what it has to do with us coming to the point where we believe and we receive and we understand that Christ is the answer. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by me. He was saying, I'm the only way to get to God, because I'm the only way that can be justifying in your life. Amen. Amen. Justified by faith. The means of our justification is in Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, the means of our justification is a simple faith in Jesus. Now, the results of being justified. He says it in that same first verse. If we are justified by faith, we are justified in the sight of God. The results of that justification are the next few words. We have peace with God. I don't know about you, but I am so glad that there is a way that I can have peace with God. I am so glad that there is a way that I can have peace in the sight of the Almighty God. And the only way to have that peace is to be justified. Justified, being innocent, being acquitted, being set free, being let go, being declared righteous. And when we are righteous in the sight of God, it brings peace into our life. It brings peace into our spirit. How many of you know this world is very unsettling? A lot of unsettling things happening in this world. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. And I know everything is good between me and him. The results of being justified, I have peace with God. Good news of the gospel this morning is you can be at peace with God. You can be at peace with the Lord this morning. If you came into this place and your spirit is in turmoil and you are uncertain as to your relationship with God, you don't have to leave here like you came, but you can leave here knowing that there is peace in your spirit and that all things are righteous in the eyes of God, and you have right standing in the sight of God, and you can leave here with peace and a changed person. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man therefore be in Christ, he is a new creature. He is a new creature. All things have passed away. And behold, all things have become new. All things are of God. Listen to me. All things are of God, who hath reconciled unto himself. Reconciled us unto himself. In other words, there was this sin problem, a vast gap between us. We were separated from God, and God made a way for us to be reconciled. He closed the gap. He closed the gap. Who hath reconciled us unto himself. How? By Jesus Christ. And he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. And he has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means that he wants us to share the good news. He wants us to let others know that you too can have peace with God, because God has reconciled the world to himself through Jesus Christ. We've been reconciled unto God. We've been reconciled to his side. We've been reconciled into fellowship. We have been reconciled into friendship. We have come together through the man, Jesus Christ. The Bible said that there is one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. He's the only answer this morning. I said, he's the only answer this morning. And just in case you, amen, misunderstand what I'm saying, let me just tell you, Buddha is not the way. Muhammad is not the way. Hare Krishna is not the way. Jesus said, I am the way. I'm the only way to get to God the Father. Somebody said, well, you know, I mean, all these different religions are all seeking after the same God, looking for the same truth. Not according to my Bible. There's only one way to get to God, and his name is Jesus Christ. And if you want to have peace with God, you need to come through the Lord. Okay, so the means of our justification is not by works, but it is simply by faith. The result of being justified is that we have peace with God. The third thing that I want to talk about is through the person of Jesus. The person of justification is found in the last line of that first verse. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. We come to the person of justification, the Lord Jesus, and it is through his sacrifice that we find grace and we find mercy and we find salvation and we find atonement for our sin. When you hear the word atonement, it means two things. It means substitution and propitiation. Substitution and propitiation. Somebody scratched their head and said, "What? I got the first one, but I have no idea what you're talking about." You remember reading that word, propitiation? When you read the word atonement, it means substitution and propitiation. Here's what they mean. Christ is our substitute. He bore my sin upon Calvary's cross. I won't tell you all my testimony, but I've done some things that I ain't proud of. Oh, but thank God for the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore your sins and he bore mine. And he said in the first book of John, the first chapter, the 9th verse, he said, if you will confess your sin, if we'll just do one, he'll do four. He said, if you'll confess your sin, he'll be faithful, just to forgive and to cleanse. Wow! You can't beat a deal like that. All I have to do is admit I'm in the wrong. Lord, I'm sorry. I blew it. He said, yeah, I know, I saw. But I'm going to be faithful, just to forgive and cleanse. And I'll justify you in heaven's courtroom. When the devil stands there, he's the accuser of the brethren, and the devil stands there going, look what he done. God says, not guilty. Look what Jesus did at Calvary. Hello? And our sin is covered by the blood. He was our substitute. Listen, if you do not believe that he was your substitute at Calvary, then you have no reason to believe that God will not punish you for your sins. Am I right? If you don't believe that Jesus was your substitute at Calvary, then you have no guarantee that God will not punish you for your sin. But thank God he bore our sins, our sorrows, and took them to the cross, and God's wrath and anger on sin was poured out upon him that we might go free. Substitution, atonement, substitution. Christ was the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation won't mean much to you if you only believe that God is love and I was going to quote something from the Lucky Charms commercial, but I guess I better not. If your concept of God is that he is just love and stardust and lollipops and unicorns and all that kind of thing, just nothing but love, propitiation won't mean a whole lot to you. And it's true, God is absolute love. As a matter of fact, when the Bible wanted to describe God, it just simply said, God is love. God is absolutely love. He loves each one of us. But I'm going to tell you something. The God of the Bible hates sin. The God of the Bible hates iniquity. And the God of the Bible tells us that he will judge sin. And that his anger and his wrath and eternity will belong in judgment and in hell's damnation for those that die in their sin, because God hates sin. Propitiation. God is God of love, but God is a God of wrath. That word propitiation means that he was our substitute for the wrath of God. He was our substitute for the wrath of God. The wrath of God was poured out upon sin in him. That's why the Bible tells us in 2 Thessalonians that God, it's verse 5 or chapter 5, verse 19, I believe it is. It says that God has not appointed us unto wrath, but God has appointed us unto salvation. In other words, we don't have an appointment with wrath because Jesus was the propitiation for our sin. He endured the wrath of God for us. He endured the wrath of God on our behalf. He is the propitiation of our sin. Christ suffered the wrath of God on Calvary. He's our substitute, that he might be our propitiation, that he might be our reconciliation, that we might be justified simply by our faith in him. Let me close this morning. For those of you that are new, around here, we say preachers get three closing. That's number one. Just in case I go long, all right? No, I'm really wrapping it up, really. Let me close by saying, we are justified by faith alone. And the results of that justification bring peace that passes all understanding. And it is through the person of Jesus Christ. The source of our justification is by his grace. The grounds for our justification is through his blood. The means of our justification is by faith in him. And the evidence of our justification is our good works. I'm going to say that again. The source of our justification is by his grace. The grounds upon which we are justified are through his blood. The means for our justification comes through faith in Christ. And the evidence that we have been changed from the inside out is the works of our character. We are no longer the same. We've been changed by the power of God, by the power of Christ. Every head is bowed this morning. Every eye is closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father, in the precious name of Jesus, I thank you for the work of Jesus Christ. I thank you for the blood of Calvary's cross. I thank you that Jesus was my substitute and the propitiation for my sin. And that because he was condemned, as I call upon his name, I am set free. I thank you that that relationship that was removed has been restored through the work of my Savior, whom I love. I thank you, Father God, this morning for the message of justification. By faith alone. I'm so glad this morning, Lord, that my salvation doesn't depend upon my acts, my deeds, because I blow it way too often. I'm imperfect. I'm flesh. I'm human. I'm but dust. If it were left up to me, I'd fail miserably, but thank God Jesus did not fail. Thank God his blood made an atonement for me and for these that are here this morning. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the message this morning. I ask you now, Father, to take the message to the heart of the hearer, whether they are here in this building or whether they are listening by way of the internet. Let them hear the message. Let them recognize their condition and call upon the Lord Jesus. Let their hearts be changed, their lives be changed, and let them find that peace and that restored fellowship that only Christ Jesus can bring. I ask all of these things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. I don't know everyone that's here, but I'm going to ask you this morning, if you're sitting here in this place, in this congregation, and you have not made Christ the Lord of your life, or you're not sure that there is peace between you and God, it is just that simple. Say, Lord, it's me. Lord, that's me. If you're here and you haven't made Christ the Lord of your life, or you know you're not where you need to be in relationship to him, just slip up your hand. Say, Lord, that's me. God bless you, and God bless you. God bless the hand that was raised here. I praise your name, sweet Jesus. Stand to your feet all over the building. How many of you would just be willing to slip up a hand and say, Pastor Gary, I needed to hear that message this morning. I needed to hear that. Amen. We have some hands that have been lifted that said, I know I'm not right with the Lord. I know my relationship is not what it should be. We've had three hands that have gone up here this morning. I just want everyone that's here, we've all been there. We have all said, Lord, it's me. Lord, that's me. Amen. We've all been in that place. I want everyone just to bow your heads. Those of you that lifted your hand, I want you to just pray and call upon the name of the Lord this morning and say, Lord, I believe. Lord, justify me. Justify me because of Jesus. Forgive me of my sin and set me free. Lord, I'm sorry for things that I have done and things that I haven't done and ways that I've lived and things that I've known are not pleasing to you. Forgive me and wash me in the blood of Jesus Christ and restore my fellowship with you. Restore my heart with you. All of the saints of God are praying. Just begin to pray. Amen. Lord, you saw every hand that was lifted. You saw every heart. And Lord, you see the condition of their heart, and they have lifted their hands, signifying that they need to be reconciled with you. As they call upon your name this morning, I pray, oh God, that your Holy Spirit would just tenderly come down and touch them in their heart. Wash away their sin. Give them, I pray, Father, a clean slate. Declare them innocent in the courtroom of heaven. Justify them. Sanctify them. Minister into their lives, Lord, by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask it. Amen, amen, amen. Lord, all of us that are here this morning that have been justified by the works of Calvary, and that we have found that justification and that peace to be truth into our heart, oh God, we rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in our salvation. We rejoice in our restored fellowship. We rejoice in knowing, oh God, that our future is secure in Christ Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Father, I pray in Jesus' name you will touch each one here in this place this morning. I pray, God, that you will give them a reason to shout amen. Give them a reason, Lord, to shout hallelujah. Give them a reason, oh God, to rejoice in the God of their salvation. For what we could not fix, you have fixed on our behalf through and by the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ.